You're listening to the Household of Christ podcast. Be encouraged and inspired as we dive into God's Word.
I want to share a message today with you as Christians, as believers. What makes us different? What is the thing that truly makes us as Christians different? There are many pastors out there. There are many presidents out there. There are many teachers, doctors, mothers, fathers. But who is there with a difference? Who is there with a difference? You know, we as Christians are called to be people of heart. Heart. God is after our heart. When you read in Luke 24, the Emmaus, as they were traveling and Jesus was talking to them, they said, "Did you experience that burning on the inside of your heart? When he was talking to us and sharing the word and breaking open the word of God, did you feel that burning on the inside?" I want to ask you as a Christian, when last did you have that burning sensation of Jesus speaking to you, talking to you? You know, sometimes when God will just come and say, "Go to your brother and say sorry." That burning sensation, you have to help those people. The Lord will tell you, "Go give 500 rand and you know you've only got 500 rand in your account." Am I talking to the right people here? And it's a burning sensation on the inside, and God is talking to you. Christianity is all about the heart. It's all about believing God's word. You need faith to be a Christian. As a matter of fact, the Bible says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. Hebrews 11 verse 6. So it's all about the heart. Turn to the person next to you and say, it's all about your heart. So when we approach God, the invisible God of power and might, when you approach Him, you have to believe that He is who He said He is and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. If you don't have faith, you cannot be saved. For you to be a Christian, you need faith. And faith is not this mystical thing that hangs in the air. The Bible teaches us in Hebrews 11 verse 1 that faith is the substance of things hoped for. What is that substance? It's Jesus Christ Himself. Do you believe in Jesus? Let me see who believes in Jesus. Let me see who's seen Jesus with their physical eyes. Nobody. That's why you need faith. Faith is the substance. It's Jesus who died on the cross, who paid the price in full. Amen. Ephesians 2 verse 8 says that we are saved by grace through faith. So you need faith to be saved. Faith is something that you have. It's what God has deposited on the inside of you before you were saved. Turn to the person that you say, whether you like it or not. Faith is something you have. Colossians 1 verse 27 says, to them God willed to make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. So what does this mean? It means Christ has deposited faith on the inside of you. Faith comes by hearing. Hearing comes by the word of God. The word of God is Jesus. The word became flesh. So on the inside of you, Jesus, a Jesus spot, a mustard seed, faith has been deposited on the inside, that substance, so that you can believe. It's by grace that we are saved, but it's through you believing that Jesus died on the cross, that Jesus paid the price, that Jesus is dead, and that Jesus has been made alive. Believing that releases power from heaven. The Bible says, believing that if you have mustard seed faith and believe that Jesus died and Jesus was made alive, mountains in your life will start to move. That's what mustard seed faith will do. Can I have one amen? Is your faith so low? Turn to the person next to you and say, whether you like it or not, faith is something you have. Why is this important? Because prayer is an expression of our faith. The substance, because we believe Jesus died. We believe that He paid the price. We believe that He sent His word to heal us. Because we believe that, we pray. We're not led by our feelings to pray. We are led by the Spirit of God to pray because we believe. Most people are led by their feelings. Fear. Something bad happened. Can we pray? No. Go look at Daniel. 3 times a day, as his custom, he gave thanks in faith. Thank you, Jesus, that when they want to feed me to the lions, you're in control. And when I'm not in the lions, then you're in control. Thank you, Lord. In the good times, you are Lord. Thank you, Lord. In the hard times, you are Lord. What you believe in your heart about your mountain is one of the most important things. What you believe about your situation, what you believe about your difficulty or your challenge is the most important thing. Because if you've got heaven's opinion about your situation, your confession will change. But because we look at a situation from a natural point of view, we start to confess and believe what is contrary to what God is busy doing. What you believe is so important. As a man thinks in his heart, as he believes in his heart, so is he. You know, I saw a video clip this week about a man that was sentenced to death. He was on the death row and he was going to die and be put to death. And they said, can we do an experiment with you? It's not going to harm you. It's not going to hurt you. We'd like to do an experiment. And he said he agreed to it. So what they did is they placed him on a chair. He was just relaxed. And they said they were going to cut him and he's going to bleed out. So what they did is they placed the knife, obviously the other way around, and he thought he was being cut, but he wasn't cut. And he was lying there, and they started to drip water. In the beginning, very fast, ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta, and then they started dripping it slower and slower and slower. And then after a few minutes, they closed the tap. And when they closed the tap and it stopped dripping, the man had a heart attack and he died. And there was no blood. His life was still in him, but he believed the life had left him and he died. I want to ask you, how many times have you said, I cannot go on? It's impossible. I cannot live anymore. And made a declaration like that and believed it with all your heart and it started affecting your life. Am I talking to the right people here? Turn to the person that you say, you're going to make it. Say, you're going to make it big time. What you believe is very, very important. Amen? So faith is the first reason to pray. First reason to pray. Can I ask you, who of you have recently felt like a failure? Just be honest. Who of you have felt like nothing's working out? Who of you thought that everything is against me? Start believing that in the eyes of Jesus, you're a success. Because when God looks at you, he sees success. A matter of fact, when you are born again, born from above, have an expectation that things are going to start to change. But it's what we believe that affects our conduct and our behavior. You say to me, how can I say with all confidence that you're a success, that things are about to change? Do you know who and what you are born of? You are born of God. John 1:13 says, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. When you are born of God, there is resurrection power on the inside of you. Working in you, with you, and through you. And that resurrection power, wherever it goes, it wants to bring light and life. But that fountain can only flow in the right way through what we are saying. So we often block this flow of light and life in our lives through what we say. Joseph was thrown into a pit, but he had a prophetic picture of the good future that the Lord had planned for him. And he said, I know where I belong. I'm not going to look at my situation and my circumstances. I know where I belong. I belong in the palace. When he was thrown into prison, he said, I know where I belong. Because success is something that's on the inside, not based on what's happening around you. But many of us are looking at things around us to determine if we are successful or not. Am I talking to the right people here this morning? You're facing some challenges and some difficulties, and you want to go from glory to glory and strength to strength, and this word gives us the way how to move forward. But we have better plans. We make our own plans. When Joshua had to enter into the promised land, after for 40 years being in the wilderness, you know, if you've been in the wilderness for 40 years, it affects your way of thinking. Am I talking to the right people here? You've been going through something for so long that it affects your thinking. What did the Lord say to him? Meditate in this. Let it be in your mouth and in your heart. And then do what it says, and your ways will become successful. So I'm telling you now, the Word of God cannot fail without God failing. But we have to apply it in the right way. When Joseph was in the prison, he didn't start behaving like a criminal. He remained a Christian born from above with the Spirit of God on the inside of him. That in prison, he didn't need a platform to give a prophetic word. In prison, he could keep his peace and give a prophetic word and bring help and health to two men. You want a platform before you'll start to do what God has called you to do. God says, I've called you, whether you're in the pit or the prison or the palace where people are lying about you, to be who I've called you to be. Am I talking to the right people here? I'm preaching to myself as well. Amen. Turn to the person that you say, pray for the pastor. Challenges, difficulties made him better. James 1 verse 4. Just put James 1 verse 4 on. Have you been going through some difficulties and challenges and temptations? You know what's the end result of that? But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. God wants to take you to a place where you're lacking nothing. Joseph said, I might be in the pit, but because I have the presence of God with me, I lack nothing. I can keep my peace. When he was in prison, I'm lacking nothing. I've got God's presence that's taking me from where I am to where he wants me to be. This Joseph, when he was in the palace, Potiphar's wife lied about him. You know what we do when people lie about us? We react. He got calm. What, God, what should I do? Run, Joseph, run. And he could run away. And because he remained faithful and loyal, even Pharaoh asked, who is this? How is this? Go read Genesis 41 verse 38. I'm reading from the New Living Translation. So Pharaoh asked his officials, can we find anyone else like this man, so obviously filled with the Spirit of God? Can people, when they look at you, say, he's obviously filled with the Spirit of God. She's obviously filled with the Spirit of God. Because this is what makes us different. We can know who are saved. We can know who's born again by their faith and by their behavior being led by the Spirit of God. If you're born again and you're a Christian, you are born from above. Family, listen to me. Our problem, it's impossible that 80% of South Africa claim to be Christians. It's impossible. For 80% of people to be born of the Holy Spirit with resurrection power on the inside of them, and this country is in the state that it's in. I'll tell you what the problem is. They're convinced, not converted. They're serving God from here and not from here. They need to get born again. That's what Nicodemus was serving God from here, a teacher for 30 years, knowing the scriptures. And he went to Jesus and he said, tell me, what's going on? I've known God for 30 years. I've been teaching for 30 years. Why are these things happening in your ministry, but not in mine? And Jesus said to him, it's very easy. If you're not born again, you're not going to see it. He says, what? What are you talking about? Born again? He says, I'm telling you, if you're not born again, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. The first work of the Holy Spirit is to regenerate your own spirit. When you confess with your mouth and you believe in your heart that Jesus Christ died and that he was made alive, when you make confession with your mouth and you believe in your heart unto righteousness, you are born again. Righteousness is not for those who confess it. Righteousness is for those who believe it. Ever wondered why certain people will go through difficult times in their marriage, in their business, and they just go through it? They're born of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit is working in them and with them and through them. I'm not saying if you're going through a tough time, you're not born again. I've gone through many tough times. I mean, I can make you cry right now. Everybody's got a sad song. Amen. But the difference is, when you are born again, you've got an anointing on the inside of you that will teach you and tell you what to do. 1 John 2:27 says, but the anointing which you have received from him abides in you, and you do not need that anyone teach you, but as the same anointing teaches you concerning all things and is true and is not a lie, and just as it has taught you, you will abide in him. So what does that mean? It means you find yourself in a pit. You can get calm and say, okay, Lord, I'm in this pit. What should I do? Joseph, you don't belong in the pit. You belong in the palace. I've got your back. Don't worry. When you find yourself in prison, Lord, what should I do? Oh, you know what, Joseph? Today, here's a word for two of the men here. Bring revelation. Bring understanding. Difficulties at work. Challenges at work. You have anointing on the inside. Why do you think many people appoint Christians to work for them? Because they've got an anointing and a grace to do what other people cannot do. Grace and anointing on the inside of you to do three times more than what other people can do. Insight into things that other people don't have. When you're a doctor with the Spirit of God on the inside of you, you can diagnose. The Holy Spirit will help you and see things that other people won't see. As a teacher, when you are teaching a classroom, God will show you, this child helped them. There's this and this challenge. You can help them and assist them. As a parent, you need the Spirit of God. You need the anointing on the inside with your children. Same mother and father, and they are so different. Am I talking to the right people here? It was only pastors that write that test with their children. I see another hand here. There will always be trials. There will always be difficulties. There will be people lying about you. But in all of that, what makes us different? We've got an anointing on the inside that will teach us and show us what to do in the difficult times. Sometimes when you don't know what to do, I promise you, if you just find some time, half an hour even, and just get quiet and listen to the anointing that God has given you, he will show you exactly what to do. And you will be led by the Holy Spirit. Amen? So listen to me. There's two things that need to take place in your life to be one with a difference. Would you like to hear what those two things are? Ezekiel explains it very well. Ezekiel 36, verse 26. It says, and I will give you a new heart, and I will put a new spirit in you. And I will take out your stony, stubborn heart and give you a tender, responsive heart. Just by raise your hand, who of you would like God to do that for you? Who's got a stubborn heart? Let me see. It's an idolatry heart. You know that it's an idolatry heart that you've got, according to Scripture. Say, Lord Jesus, forgive me says, and I will put my spirit in you so that you will follow my decrees and be careful to obey my regulations. So what is he talking about? He says, first, I'm going to give you a new heart and a new spirit. What is he talking about? He's talking about being born again. When you become born again, God gives you a new heart. He places a new spirit. Your spirit that wanted to do what you wanted to, he gives you a new spirit. You are born again. Then he starts dealing with your heart. Stubbornness, unforgiveness, sanctification, the renewing of the mind. You know, when I got born again, I thought stubbornness was a good characteristic of any Christian. Until I read stubbornness is like idolatry, and I realized, oh God, I need to renew my mind. Who have you come from? Stubborn families? It's a South African thing. Very dangerous. Secondly, he places his spirit within you. Can you see the process? Good is being born again. Better is having your mind sanctified. Romans 12, verse 1 and 2. And the best is being filled with the Holy Spirit. Then you can start behaving like Joseph. Why is this important? What do I mean? Many people are looking for money, a contract, a breakthrough to come from the outside. But God places success on the inside. That whenever you go, you can be successful. But if you've not been sanctified, how will you maintain the blessing when it comes to you? Everybody says, God, bless me, bless me, bless me. How will you maintain it? Pharaoh could see the Spirit of God on the inside of him, and he said, I'm putting you in charge of everything. Because I know you will listen to what God is saying to you. You'll walk in the spirit of wisdom. You'll walk in a spirit of knowledge, understanding, of strength, of counsel, and of the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is to hate sin. Am I talking to the right people here? Joseph was the best among equals. There were many people trained and educated, but he was the best because of the Spirit of God that was leading him and guiding him. Am I talking to the right people here? Many situations that are very difficult, complicated. You just need to get quiet and hear what God is saying. You know, many times when I have to make decisions as a pastor decisions, I go read all the books written to pastors. 1 Thessalonians, right to the book of Philemon. I read all of that. Just go sit, take an hour, read through it, and hear the instruction that's given to pastors. That the instructions that I give is in line with the Word of God. This is what you want. What makes you different is the Spirit of God. I'm going to start closing. Peter and John, in the book of Acts 3, you can see they healed somebody. In chapter 4, they're being questioned. The Bible says in verse 8, Acts verse 4, then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers and elders of the people, what was different about him? He was filled with the Holy Spirit. Can you see the need why you as a Christian every day should pray, Spirit of the living God, fall afresh upon me. Fall afresh upon me. Enter my soul. Touch my heart. Change my heart to do your will now and forever. Because you cannot do God's will without the Holy Spirit. The disciples walked with Jesus. He had breathed upon them. They were born again. But he still said, wait until you receive power. Too many Christians are out there living a life without power, without resurrection power. So they found themselves in a difficult situation. But they had peace. The Bible says in verse 13, now as they observed the confidence of Peter and John and understood that they were uneducated and trained men, they were amazed and began to recognize them as having been with Jesus. Wow. This is what people should see. Have you been with Jesus? Have you been in His presence? Are you seeking His kingdom? Are you seeking His righteousness? Are you seeking His ways? That's what makes us different. The righteousness of God in our lives. As a Christian, listen to me, as a Christian, you know what the Bible says? Romans 14 says, the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. If you are filled with the Holy Spirit, you should, everywhere where you go, manifest righteousness, peace, and joy. Because that's what God has given us. That's what's on the inside of you. So if you come into a situation and there's turmoil, can I pray for you for the peace of God? And you manifest the peace of God. Can I have one amen? Amen. This is what people are looking for. We are the Christians that can go out and manifest the presence of God. When Jesus' disciples asked him how to pray, what did he say? He says, I want you to pray and manifest heaven's atmosphere here on earth. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Turn to the person that you say, you can do it. I'm going to close with this. What you believe in your heart, what you believe in your heart is very important. Christianity is all about the heart. If you believe it's possible, it will be possible. If you believe in your heart that mountain will be moved, it will be moved. Faith is required in everything that you do. Not just when you pray, you should have faith. In everything that you do, everything that's not of faith, the Bible says, is sin. Say, Aina. Can you see the importance to be in faith? What is faith? Faith is a lifestyle of trusting God in everything that you do. That's all that faith is. God, you've gone before me. God, I'm walking with you. God, I put my trust in you. Stop believing that you're a failure and start believing the word of God. Deuteronomy 8 verse 18, what does it say? It says, God is the one who gives you the ability, the power to be successful. Can I have one amen? Amen. Turn to the person that you say has been a tough week. Turn to the other one, person on the other side, say, you're going to make it. Family, listen to me. We need to start to believe that God has placed His ability on the inside of us. Peter says His divine nature, His divine ability has been given to us to live a holy life, to live a righteous life, to live a life that is pleasing unto Him. There's always going to be trials. There's always going to be difficulties. There's always going to be darkness pressing against you. But the light on the inside of you expels darkness. So we're not in heaven yet. We're here on earth. But we're here to live a successful life. Light expels darkness. The blessing is greater than the curse. Amen. And God wants to use you to be one with the difference. That wherever you go, you would manifest God's presence. The disciples were filled with the Holy Spirit. That's what made them different. People could see these people are filled with the Holy Spirit. When you talk, can people hear God's voice upon your voice? All these men, all these women in the Bible that did extraordinary things, go and have a look and you'll see the presence of God was with them. God is with you. It's not in my sermon notes. I'm going a little bit off track, but let me just say this. Under the old covenant, the Holy Spirit would depart from you. When you sinned, David said, do not let your spirit depart from me. Saul, the spirit departed from him. The spirit of God was with David. Samson, go look at Samson. The spirit of God had departed from him and he did not even know it. Whew, that's scary. Spirit of God had departed from him. He didn't even know it. But go read Ephesians 4:30. It says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit. That is with you. What does it mean? Because God says in the book of Hebrews, He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. I'm always going to be with you. So under the new covenant, the Holy Spirit is never going to leave you. Turn to the person that you say, He's never going to leave you. But here's the thing. You can make Him happy or you can grieve Him. through your obedience, through what you say, through what you do, through where you go. Say, Aina. So we sometimes think the Holy Spirit only listens when we are praying. No, no, no. He's listening all the time. Faith is a lifestyle of trusting God in everything that you do. To know that wherever you walk, wherever you go, the Holy Spirit is with you. Light and life is on the inside of you. A fountain is on the inside of you. That fountain is a fountain of life that when you start speaking, rivers start to flow. Where there's hard hearts, no hope, that water starts to water. And it's not ordinary water, it's water that comes from Jesus Christ, light and life. You are born of God. His nature, His ability on the inside of you. His presence wherever you go. What makes us different? We have the Holy Spirit with us. We have a helper, we have a comforter that is there with us. Our shield, our protection, our exceedingly great reward, who gives us wisdom, knowledge, understanding, strength, counsel, and the fear of God to rest upon us wherever we go. An anointing on the inside when you face difficult situations. What to do, Lord? Help me, lead me, guide me. And if you feel low, then go to somebody else that you know is anointed and let them pray with you. Let them come in agreement with you. And things will start to change in your life. There's nothing ordinary about you. You've got the God of the universe, the Spirit of the living God, living on the inside of you, working in you, with you, and through you. See you later.
Thanks for listening. Visit www.hoc.org.za to learn more. Household of Christ, loving God, loving people.